Good morning, all. Welcome to worship. If you're joining us online, welcome. We greet you from wherever you may be, but we are gathered here in person and from all around. We come to begin the week properly, turning to our Lord, finding the guidance we need, setting our hearts and minds, preparing ourselves for the journey. One of the gifts for me that God has given us is the gift of laughter. That's why I always try and include at least a joke somewhere in the service. And I have to tell you, how many of you played a musical instrument at some point, maybe in elementary or grade school? I played one in elementary up through middle school, and one day one of the boys came in and he was all crestfallen. He said, I broke my horn. And everybody was worried because the band director, what are we going to do? The band director said, no, it's all right. He says, it's a brass instrument. He said, we'll just use tuba glue. Oh. I actually heard that on the radio this week was tell a joke today or tell a joke something. Did anybody else know that it was tell a joke day at some point this week? We didn't get our joke in. Now we have it in there. By way of announcements, this is a time to gather and get all of those agenda items out and make sure that we are prepared for the upcoming week. On the back of the bulletin, you see some of the things going on that is a regularly, mostly routine week this week, so should not be any changes there. Anybody have any announcements to make? Diana does, please.
You know, we used to have cards back there in the vestibule where that, haven't got things planned here, that Linda Emerson made, and we've run out of them, and she's graciously brought in a bunch more. They're all kind of mixed right now from Christmas to who knows what. And I'm going to sort them. So they'll be back next week. But if you're in need of a card, it is a kind of mini fundraiser for the church because the funds do go to the church. But if you're in need of a card, think of us next week and plan to pick up maybe a couple.
Okay, thank you. Did you have something, Barbara? No. I think Debbie Gunther is prepared. No? No? Okay, usually does. Other announcement? Helen, please.
Please pick up peaches that I brought that are in the vestibule.
Okay, some peaches back in the narthex. Those of you online, no. Sorry. We'll taste them and let you know how they were. Thank you, Helen. Paya Kalamani.
The Tongan youth are going to have their youth day September 7th, which is a Saturday here at the North parking lot, and everybody's invited. I have not gotten a start time. I will put that in the bulletin once I know. Thank you.
Is that a Sunday?
Lucy said 10.
Okay.
It's going to be on a Saturday, September 7th.
All right. Thank you for that. Other things for the good of the order. Do things look normal around here? Anybody feel like something has changed? Good. Well, we'll just be just fine. The lectern is gone. You know, this little thing that I'm standing behind that was, there was a littler one over there, and we took it out. We're seeing how that works. Let us know if that drives you crazy or if you think that's bad. It makes it harder for Barbara Shaw to hide when she's playing the piano. So now she's right out there in the open. Anything else by way of announcements? All right, I invite you to set aside your agendas, set aside all those other things. Let us focus on God. Stand, wave hello to one another, and let us turn to our call to worship. me tell it?
If you'll please join me in our call to worship. Lord, we stand in awe of you. Lord, guide us to walk in a manner that reflects our awe of you. Help us bear good fruit as we go. You know that we struggle with unconditional love, and you are with us in our struggle. Open a door, Lord, and give us strength to go through it. As we face trials in our daily lives, may we be purified and strengthened to carry out your mission through our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. If you remain standing for our hymn, Victory in Jesus, it's number 370 in the hymnal.
I was telling Barbara this morning that this is one that comes from the history, my history of when I was growing up. There was a Baptist church down the road, and so this, while, yes, I totally forgotten the melody, I remember this song, and it's a good song. Barbara, would you play through it once just so that everybody knows what it sounds like?
Thank you.
Thank you. You may be seated.
Our first scripture lesson today comes from the book of Ephesians, chapter 5, verses 6 through 20. Let no one deceive you with empty words, for because of these things the wrath of God comes on those who are disobedient. Therefore, do not be associated with them. For once you were darkness, but now in the Lord you are light. Live as children of light. For the fruit of the light is found in all that is good and right and true. Try to find out what is pleasing to the Lord. Take no part in the unfruitful works of darkness, but instead expose them. For it is shameful even to mention what such people do secretly. But everything exposed by the light becomes visible, for everything that becomes visible is light. Therefore it says, "Sleeper, awake, rise from the dead, and Christ will shine on you. Be careful, then, how you live, not as unwise people, but as wise, making the most of the time, because the days are evil. So do not be foolish, but understand what the will of the Lord is. Do not get drunk with wine, for that is debauchery, but be filled with the Spirit. As you sing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs among yourselves, singing and making melody to the Lord in your hearts, giving thanks to God the Father at all times and for everything, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ." The word of the Lord. Thanks be to
God. I told Stephanie to tell her joke before she started. She refused. Have you heard the joke about the butter? Well, I'm not going to spread it. Was better than mine. Yay, Stephanie. Prayer time. We turn to those life events and concerns for the community. Do you know of concerns that we need to lift our hearts and our body in prayer? Any concerns? We have lifted on the back of the bulletin some of those concerns and prayers and celebrations. Do we have any updates on the information that you see listed there?
My friend Roy is going home today.
Okay, Barbara's friend Roy is going home today. So that was the one friend ill, Roy. Okay. Amen. Others. Other concerns. We continue to have shootings regularly. We have gun violence. I'm going to continue to lift that. I hope we can pray around that. I hope we can lead to something different, for something better. Amen? By way of celebrations, this is the 18th, and Monday, Sharon Hafner has a birthday. Wednesday, Jim Polliard has a birthday. He's going to be 83. Hello, Jim, in Arizona. He always writes us and lets us know what's going on. Sons of Burvey is having a birthday. Going to be 24? I was going to say 24 didn't sound right at all. 11? All right, who keeps the database? I have down here that Thursday is going to be Edna Leach's birthday. Is that right, Edna? And you're going to be 86, is that right? Happy birthday to you, young lady. Sunday, I have down here that Fran Doctor has a birthday. Is that true, Fran? And you're going to be the same age as her? Twins, happy birthday to you, Fran. Others, who did I miss? Debbie Gunther, it's not your birthday.
It's not my birthday. I just wanted to mention a celebration. I have a new great niece that was born last Tuesday, Alice Samantha.
great niece. All right, now wait a minute. Somebody tell me what a great niece. Wait, give her the microphone back. A great niece is your niece's niece?
Child.
Your
niece's daughter.
Had a baby.
Yes.
You're not old enough to have a niece. No, all right, very good. Alice, is that right? Celebrations, new birth in life. Amen, amen. Others, fruit on the trees. In fact, how many of you have shoveled with your snow shovels lately? This week, I had to get out the snow shovel here at the church and shovel the plums off of the sidewalk. I kid you not, I was out there shoveling. The guy across the way working, one of the construction workers, was staring at me. He wasn't sure what to think. Good for him. Pardon me? Snow shovels work well for leaves? That's good to know. See, there we go. I knew I didn't put my snowblower away for the season for a good reason. So we're all set. Any other prayers of the community? Paya, please, Michael.
Thank you for the prayers for my MRI. It comes back as tumoral calcinosis.
Tumoral
calcinosis.
Tumor. Man, you got to be a doctor to understand this. Prayers. And what are they going to do about it?
Absolutely nothing right now.
Okay, nothing to be done about it. Prayers for you. Prayers. Prayers of good medical, that we have medical, we have people that can help us, that we can have access to things like MRIs. Amen? What a blessing. Any others? If not, turn with me, if you will, to the unison prayer. Let us read responsively. Lord God, gather with us in prayer. Blessed God, thank you for the blessing we have received in Christ. God chose us for adoption as his children through Jesus Christ. In Christ, we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of our trespasses, according to the riches of his grace that he lavishes upon us. In Christ, we have also obtained an inheritance. Thank God for this wondrous gift. Amen. I invite you to a moment of meditation and silence in preparation for prayer. Loving Lord God, thank you for the blessing of this beautiful summer, for the celebration of seasons and the sunshine of grass and trees and plants and flowers and fruit growing, for the very luscious world that surrounds us. We celebrate, Lord, as we are in the midst of all of the bounty that you put before us and around us, that you offer out to us. And in your all-seeing and all-knowing eye, you know what we need. You know our needs and asking. And you know how to give to us what we need beyond what we ask for. Regardless of how we might view our needs, Lord, you care for us. You are with us. You know us. You are inspiring us in every moment to grow and to blossom into the life within Christ that brings freedom, that brings redemption, that brings joy, that brings peace. Lord, we're grateful. We're grateful for your presence in our lives, your offering up Jesus to be with us, to teach us, to lead us, to guide us, to inspire us, to redeem us. We're grateful for the ways that you have blessed us. We're grateful for your guidance in scriptures, in words, in deeds. And Lord, we're grateful for our brothers and sisters in Christ. Guide us, Lord. Guide us to be the Christians we're called to be. Guide us as always. Show us the light and the path inspire us, nudge us out of complacency, calm us in despair. Lead us through Jesus Christ, as is your way. And hear us as we gather that we dedicate ourselves through the Lord's Prayer, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Pause with me, if you will, for a moment as Barbara offers us an offertory.
Please stand if you're able and join me in our gospel lesson for today. Today's gospel lesson comes out of the book of John, chapter 6, verses 51 through 58. I am the living bread that came down from heaven. Whoever eats of this bread will live forever, and the bread that I will give for the life of the world is my flesh. The Jews then disputed among themselves, saying, How can this man give us his flesh to eat? So Jesus said to them, Very truly I tell you, unless you eat the flesh of the man or the Son of Man and drink his blood, you have no life in you. Those who eat my flesh and drink my blood have eternal life, and I will raise them up on the last day. For my flesh is true food, and my blood is true drink. Those who eat my flesh and drink my blood abide in me, and I in them. Just as the living Father sent me, and I live because of the Father, so whoever eats me will live because of me. This is the bread that came down from heaven, not like that which your ancestors ate, and they died. But the one who eats this bread will live forever. The word of the Lord. Have the kids come join me for our VBS song.
So this is my turn, isn't it? Am I in the right spot? Okay, just checking here. I'm new here. How many of you, as we were listening to the New Testament lesson from John, did you recognize what he was talking about there? The Lord's Supper, communion. The theological name is Eucharist. Okay, and this is John talking about it. How in the world were we did communion last week? Neo, didn't we do communion last week? 2 weeks ago. The 1st of August, right? Am I forgetting that? Or do you remember, Neo? He's looking at me with a blank look, too. The 1st of the month, we did communion. This is in the wrong spot. Whoever organized these right readings got it messed up. It's called the lectionary. We've talked about it. 3-year cycle. I didn't know a lot about the history of the lectionary. I knew that it was this century. I found out the whole problem with the lectionary. It comes from the 60s. About 62, Vatican II, a lot of changes in the Roman Catholic Church. You recall the Catholic Roman Catholic Church all the way up till the 1960s, the Mass was in Latin. How many of you speak Latin? Yeah, me neither. It's Greek to me. Never mind. The sense that they would have all of the words and everything in Latin, not the language of the people, and they had a new pope, and he came in and he made major changes. I don't remember the name of the pope. Does anybody that knows? Pope John the 23rd? Thank you. All right, we have a historian in here, or a good solemn Roman Catholic. At any rate, this Vatican II, major changes. And one of those, he said, oh, let's organize the readings in the church over this 3-year cycle. We have the three, well, there are four gospels, but they organized them into three. It's Matthew and John, Mark and John, Luke and John. So that's the 3-year cycle, an ABC cycle. So all of that is information that you don't need to know terribly, but it's kind of helpful to understand that we try and read all the way through all the Gospels, and this is just when the reading for John's version of the Last Supper and Jesus' words came. It's intriguing, just a little bit of interest for you. Of all of the books of all of the Bible, they try and take pieces of every book, and the New Testament's covered pretty well. The Old Testament, somewhat well, but not quite as well. There are 5 books in the Old Testament that we never read in the lectionary. 1 and 2 Chronicles. Have any of you ever read Chronicles? That's the history, the genealogy, the Adam begat, you know, and all the begats. And that was very important, as still is, to the Hebrew peoples, that you recall Jesus is in the lineage of David. You recall that passage in the New Testament. So 1 and 2 Chronicles is not included in the lectionary. Ezra, Nahum, and Obadiah. And we may have to do some sermons on them. Dig into these prophets and just at least explore who they were, what they were about, and why they might be in our Old Testament Bible. So the lectionary, and it brings us this view of the Eucharist. Now, a little bit more technical information, as after Jesus' death, Jesus did not write out any of the Bible. He taught, and his disciples learned by listening to him and by remembering what he said. And so later after his death, somebody said we should write this down, and we believe the first one to do that was Mark. So we have the Gospel of Mark. And that was the oldest. And if you've ever read it, it's pretty short, kind of pithy, doesn't have anything elaborating, and it does not have much of Jesus' words. It's more of an account of what happened. So some time passed, maybe 10, 15 years, and then Matthew and Luke both wrote at about the same time. And they not only wrote the history that they might have had Mark in front of them so that they had kind of a blueprint for the history. But they also, we believe, had another book called Quelle, or the source. And it was the words of Jesus. Somebody had written down the words of Jesus. And we believe that document, the document's lost. But scholars believe that they have recreated it fairly extensively. And you can buy a copy of the words of Jesus. It's kind of a funny thing that we wouldn't have that right in our pews. But again, it's scholars who are interpreting and guessing at, and so it becomes a little bit plastic, if you will. But then it was a handful of years, maybe another 10 or 15 years, that John wrote his gospel. So now we're a ways out. We're a generation away from Jesus' death. And things have been going on, and John wants to reorder some things and coordinate some things. And one of the things for him is to tell about the Last Supper, the Eucharist. And so you hear it written here and the words that Jesus said and how he phrased them. But for John, this was not the important rite or ceremony for Christians. For us, communion is the centering one. For us, communion is where we come together. That is the primary core gathering for us, is Holy Communion, Eucharist. For John, he thought it should be foot washing. How many of you have ever been in a foot washing? I, believe it or not, have never. And it's intriguing. My very first full-time appointment in Fort Morgan, Colorado, there was a discussion about foot washing. And one of the guys, you'll appreciate, she's from Texas. Wonderful gal, and she says, there ain't no way nobody is ever going to see my feet in church. And modern people, we're kind of private about our feet. I don't know what that's about. You Tongans have us. I've seen a lot of toes on Tongans, all very beautiful toes, but maybe, England can, the Palangi don't have pretty feet. I think that's the problem. We have ugly feet. Who knows? But the foot washing also has another thing that's interesting. It's an act of humility. Do you remember Jesus sat down and washed the feet of his disciples? And this is something that you had servants or slaves that would wash the feet of guests when they came to your home. Roads weren't paved, sidewalks weren't concreted, and shoes and socks. So you had dirty feet when you came to someone's house. And it was polite to pause and take off your shoes, sit down. And they had a servant that would use non-potable water, just raw water, if you will, and wash your feet and dry them. By the way, it's those same jugs that were used to turn water into wine at Cana. So we're tying some things together here, aren't we? At any rate, so it was the lessers that would wash the feet of those guests that came. And so Jesus is washing the feet. He came to Simon Peter. Simon Peter said, Lord, you can't wash my feet. You are the master. I am the disciple. I am less than you. Do you remember what Jesus said to him? Unless you do this, you have no peace of me. Unless you participate in this servanthood to one another, you are not one of my followers. John replied, well, wash all of me, my head and my feet, everything then. John, did I say John? Simon Peter. That's all right, I'm new here. But the foot washing causes some interesting things to happen. It's about humility and subservience and about giving ourselves the lower position and someone else the upper position. So foot washing never really took off. And as we noted here in our quick poll, most of us have not even experienced a foot washing. Maybe we don't have enough acts of humility. Something to ponder, something to think about. I think the other part of it is that the Last Supper is centered around a meal, and we all love Thanksgiving and meals, don't we? What's the one thing you always do in church? Potlucks, see? So it's all about food, and the Last Supper has that piece of that. But there's an interesting thing that came, and I wondered if you were listening, as you were listening to it, if you were aware of the literal translation of what Jesus is saying and how some people would have been a little bit put off, at least. Those who eat my flesh and drink my blood have eternal life, and I will raise them up on the last day. For my flesh is true food, and my blood is true drink. If you didn't know anything about Christianity, it sounds a little bit cannibalistic, doesn't it? Eating the flesh and drinking the blood, yeesh. In fact, in the Roman Catholic Church, even today, they have what is called transubstantiation. And during communion, when the priest says the words, if they are done correctly and properly, the elements physically change, become the flesh, become the blood. Transubstantiation, and they believe that this is literally occurring. I don't know of other denominations that believe in that. For us, United Methodists, Lutherans, it is a symbol of his body. This is my, I was a living being, I had flesh and blood, and so you recognize these. And they are symbols not to be taken literally. There's a lot packed in all of this, isn't there? But here is some of the, and the early church, after hearing some of how this was written, and John and quoted Jesus, they accused the early Christians of being cannibals. There were some that attacked it on that sense. That's not a huge movement, but it happened. But unpacking transubstantiation, the literal changing, some may not agree with that, even if they're still Catholic or what have you. So now there's an unpacking of reality versus story versus myth. And there are some things that become questionable about, is Jesus real? And those questions happen. Any young person growing up begins to learn that some of the things in their history that they've been taught, the boogeyman, all of these other things, these are myths, stories, what have you. And it's easy to say someone you can't see and hold, Jesus or even God, that these are mythical. A carpenter's son born poor, becoming that famous, seems hard to believe. The virgin birth, Jesus' resurrection, these are all things that could cause people to come and question. A little bit of insight. Historically, Jesus' life and ministry are recorded in our Gospels, in our Bible. But they are accorded and recorded and noted in other religions' histories. You can go to the Muslim, and they refer to this man, Jesus. He was very real. There is no question, there is no doubt, the reality of this man named Jesus and the movement that he began. So if you have people beginning to have doubts and what have you, ask them to read histories of other denominations that would have not wanted to popularize Christianity. They will recognize and remember an important event where this Jesus, this man, lived. They will give accounts of some of the events in the life of this man named Jesus. Now, it's interesting because Jesus is not an event. Jesus' life is not an event. Jesus is a way of life. Think about that a minute. It's important because if we come and just come for communion and we take the elements and we say some prayers and we sit down, that's an event that occurred and we can be done with that and go back out into the world and be unchanged. But when we are becoming Christian and growing in our Christianity, we are changed here. We are changed within. We are changed with how we will be in the world. Jesus lived 2,000 years ago, and his life is the beginning of an event that is still underway. We are changed by Jesus in ways that are innumerable. If you want to really talk sometime, find a historian about how humanity is different and how much of how we are, especially as a Western culture, and how much of Christianity is woven throughout all of our culture and who we are. Jesus changed the world with his life and is changing the world today. That changes are still underway. Jesus was not an event that is over. Jesus is a way of life that is going on. Take, eat. This is my body given to you. Drink. This is my blood shed for you and for everyone. Take me into yourselves. Take me in and let me be a part of you. Let me dwell within you. Jesus pointed out in that scripture, did you hear it? Jesus abides in God. We abide in Jesus. We abide in God. Now, there was an interesting part in that, in the passage that Stephanie read. I told her right in the middle, did you see there was a piece that said, sleeper, awake, rise from the dead, and Christ will shine on you. Well, scholars believe that that came out of a hymn that was common at the time. That was a known hymn that all of them would have recognized. And I told Stephanie to sing it when she read the liturgy. And dance, interpretive dance, yes. She declined politely. Actually, she just laughed in my face, which is what I expected. But there's a piece of hymn. There's a piece of song. We have parables. We have phrases. We have ways that we are in the world. What would Jesus do is a movement in our midst, but it's a question asked how many billion times a day? And how should we be as Christians? You see, this is not an event in the past, and we are not just reading it as history. We are participants in an event that is occurring. God has been at that work through all of history, and from Jesus' life on, more intently. Now, I have to admit and name that there have been times when humanity has slipped. Maybe we've even regressed. The Crusades, the Inquisitions, some of those things that Christianity has claimed, but were in the wrong direction. But they have fallen away. They are in the past. We don't like to mention them, and here I am mentioning them. But God does not give up, and that change in that life goes on. So Jesus wants to be inside of us, filling us, guiding us, inspiring us, transforming us, one heart at a time, person to person, heart to heart, loving to loving. And in changing us as individuals, we change the system. We change the families around us, not because that's why we do it, but because we're following Jesus. But when we change, God willing, others change as well. And not only that, the world changes. Come, give us our daily bread. Come, Lord Jesus, guide us, inspire us, fill us. Fill us as we are, as you are filled with God. Amen? Amen. Miss Barbara, if I could ask you to come up, and Miss Diana, let's sing Great is the Lord, Faith We Sing 2020. Can you all see it? It's in 2020. There's a joke there.
Get up there, dude. Now, if you've opened to 2020, please turn the page to 2022, because that's the correct hymn number.
Great is the Lord, he is holy and just, faithful. Great is the Lord and worthy of praise.
By his mercy he proves his love. Great is the Lord and worthy of glory. Great is the Lord and worthy of praise. Great is the Lord. Now lift up your voice. Now lift up your voice. Great. Mercy, he proves his love.
There it is. We go from here. We are not talking about an event that happened in the past. We're talking about an event that's happening within us through Jesus Christ, through the gift of God. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, let us be filled and let us move into the world as Christians that we're called to be. Amen?
Amen.
Join hands. Let's sing our closing.
Go now in peace, go now in peace. May the love of God surround you everywhere, everywhere you may go.
And God's people said, Amen.